truth is out there. And here, who knows? But either way, we are opening up the Bloom Files here on Post Show Recaps, an X-Files First Watch / Rewatch podcast. Hello, everybody. Mike Bloom here with three words to greet you on this post-holiday podcast. Angela, hello, you.
Was that three words?
I'm assuming so.
Yeah, those are specifically the three words of this episode.
Yeah, exactly. That's what was written on the CD. Those were the secret passwords to all the secrets.
Yeah. Do you remember those CDs that were like white on the front so that you could write on them? And do you remember writing like every title of the songs that you would put on your mix CD?
See, sometimes I would do that. Other times I would just title it like, oh, you know, because there was also sometimes... There was the case that you put it in. There was like liner on the back write the tracks on.
A lot of the times you were just buying like a big old set.
Oh yeah, big old spindle of them.
Yeah.
So apologies, by the way, if we had been gone for as long as those CDs.
Sorry.
Listen, stuff gets in the way. There was a Survivor finale. There was a Witcher premiere. There was a hit. There was a holiday. There was a major worldwide holiday.
Excuse me, not worldwide, but.
I mean,
fairly widespread
around the world. I guess I would count.
Yeah,
it, as
it
that.
Was the holiday season.
Holiday season,
and we do have a 2-year-old that has been in our watch,
in our
care,
yeah, right there on our wrist,
exclusively in our care, not in daycare, killing us slowly
with his song. He sings a lot of songs.
He does sing a lot of songs. Anyway, we are talking about season 8,
episode 16.
We jumped pretty far down, but we
just did 14 and 15, so it's like...
Yeah, we're just continuing towards the end of the season, because we're sort of trying to get through a bit of a slog. No, I mean, we've talked about this since the beginning. Season 8 and season 9 are tough, because there's a lot being introduced that you just don't necessarily care about.
Just, it's weird, is sort of like what I'm experiencing now, because now we're in this awkward phase of, Mulder's back.
Yeah, because David Duchovny left, but then they convinced him to come back for 11 episodes, so he's back.
Yeah,
but he wants to leave, but they won't let him leave.
Except now, at least by the end of this batch of 2 episodes, they'll give him sort of an out reason to leave. But yeah, it is this sort of odd thing where, and then there's also, you know, this involvement where, yeah, it's a sort of a three-headed monster, but now they're sort of phasing Gillian Anderson out as well, using the canonical in-character thing, right, of, oh, she's going on maternity.
Yeah.
So it's this sort of this odd question of, okay, wait, who?
What is the show about?
Who's in the X-Files
so
now?
So the thing was, they were trying to phase Gillian Anderson out because the idea for season 9 was that it would just be John Doggett and Monica Reyes. So like for that to happen, Gillian Anderson will have to like have a baby and leave, and Mulder will have to believe, and so like they can't just be like they can't be like these reoccurring characters, whereas season 8 has been like Mulder's in the zeitgeist, the actor is just not present,
so occasionally they'll cut to him on a table with a bunch of hooks in his face, but that's about
but now he's back, and then
from outer space.
So in this episode we're sort of left with the impression that Kirsch will not let him leave at this point, because he wants to resign.
Right?
I think so. He wants to resign.
Which episode are you talking about?
The first one.
The first one, it's that he is, he's like working back at the FBI, but he's not allowed to go into the X-Files.
Yeah, so he's basically like, okay, I quit. And he's like, no, you don't quit.
But then he's also like sneaking into the X-Files anyway. And that's how we get into the second episode.
Yes, exactly.
Like, you can't keep him away from it. He found it.
Can't keep a Mulder away from the X-Files.
Can't keep a good Mulder down. All right, let's get into three words, because... Fight the future opens on a fun note here. Some have heard this before in the past 365 days. Someone infiltrates the White House.
Yeah, exactly. But this is sort of... I think this is still pre-9/11.
Yeah,
because it's early 2001.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, I do think things are not quite where they are security-wise.
But, like, this lax? Like, well, so there's a lot of a good, like, 70 yards.
This is
there.
Also, like, not a common thing that you see nowadays, where you can, like, stand in front of the fence, like, the degree that people were... I don't think you can still do that.
I imagine not.
I think it's much more, like, further away from the actual fence, because people are like right up against the fence, like, just, I don't know what they're doing, whether they're protesting or they're just like looking
in
the gates.
But it's such a weird scene, because then also, like,
he just like pole vaults over the fence.
And then a bunch of people just start taking pictures, and nobody stops him for a while. And it's like, hello?
Well, yeah, but anybody? They also assume that, like, that's, again, the idea of pre-9/11. Like, they're like, oh, he's just a prankster, you know? Like, I don't think people think one sole guy jumping the fence of the White House was going to be anything.
Wow, simpler times.
Truly. But they, a bunch of security guards catch this guy, and like, he shoots...
gun him down.
Well, no, he shoots himself. They capture him, he shoots himself, and then he says, I just needed to get this to the president.
Needs to know the aliens are taking over.
Yeah, and he hands him a CD that says Fight the Future, and you're like, okay, guess we're back to that movie.
So, David Duchovny is back, but it's not without scars, both mentally and physically. Mm-hmm. He's got to wear, like, the putty that simulates, like, the hooks that were in his face.
Those
and the
three,
big,
like, little things going down his cheek.
That pizza cutter that went down his chest.
Disgusting.
But they say that his scars are repairing himself, and he's in perfect health.
And that's the thing. They say that he no longer has this debilitating brain disease that he had previously.
Yep.
That was causing him to, like, have seizures and, like, die.
And that occasional couple of episodes, right, where he, like, was able to see the future.
Yes, exactly. So he doesn't have that anymore. Convenient. And his body's in perfect health, healing itself. So, great for him.
Talk about timeliness. A great Austin Powers reference from Mulder as well.
Yeah, you love that. You love Austin Powers.
I mean, listen, you actually, I think, quote Austin Powers more than I do.
I do because I know you like it.
Thank you. Wow.
Yeah,
I
can't say that I think about it as much, but I do think about it in the context of things you do because you've mentioned it once or twice.
Yeah, baby.
Exactly.
So, basically, Mulder now admits, like, hey, that's great, but I don't know what my life is anymore.
Yeah, exactly. He's just like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I do feel bad because Scully's, like, trying to keep him safe, and he's doing literally everything to be unsafe.
Yeah, he's, like, basically, like, hey, thanks for saving me, but...
Well, because he doesn't remember the... I mean, I don't think he has a huge memory of the last whatever many months that he was gone. Because otherwise, he would be... less quippy, I think, and a little bit more PTSD.
And so that's the thing, is I know that of course, the always reliable Spencer wrote this into us as well, that I know people were not happy in the moment that, again, this is the episode after they, you know...
They find him.
That, like, there's a surprisingly not a lot of dedication to Mulder sort of handling what he went through the ship.
Yeah.
And we're so like, all right, back to the usual. I just got a couple holes in me.
Yeah, and he's very, like, he makes his, like, quippy remarks, and he's being very funny, and he's not very serious, and I think that he's, like, playing, like, very avant-garde, like, not avant-garde, like, what am I trying to say?
Avant-garde.
No, like, cavalier.
Cavalier.
Like, very avant-garde.
He's just dressing so oddly.
Yeah, so I think that he's just very, like, cavalier about the whole thing, like, yeah, aliens exist, man, I got abducted, man, you know, like, very weird, and so I do agree with that, because I think that it was an odd vibe, and I think that's what makes it really hard to get through this season. The end of this season, I really enjoy.
Well, that's coming up next week.
But I do think that also has to do with a little bit of Monica Reyes, a little bit more Skinner, a little bit of an ensemble cast situation.
Well, speaking of really weird, frickin' Absalom again.
Yeah, this was like fun surprise. It's like, hey, dude, what's up?
Yeah, so he's in jail. And basically, so, you know, guys, prison librarians delivering stuff. He gets given a book called The Coming Apocalypse.
Of course.
And sort of like carved out inside is an article about this guy from the cold open who was a census worker, it gets revealed.
Yeah, so this guy from the cold open is a census worker who, and if you recall anything about previous seasons of the X-Files, the census was done as a way to track and catalog
humans. I believe
humans.
One of the Jeremiah Smiths, like one of the clones I remember had worked in the census office.
Yeah, and I think that also, I mean, I think it's season one or season two, they find that that abandoned filing system that has everybody's smallpox vaccine DNA sample.
Herd of aliens running by.
Yes. They have everyone's like DNA samples as well. So like the whole idea is that we're cataloging humans here.
Yeah.
Aliens are, I should say.
So basically this is what you mentioned. Kirsch calls in Skinner a dog, and this is what you mentioned before where he's like, Mulder's going to be reinstated, but I don't want him working on the X-Files, but Doggett, you're the one who's going to have to tell him.
Yeah, and also, I don't love this either, because it doesn't make any sense. Like, why does Kirsch want him reinstated?
Yeah.
Like, is it a political thing? Is it above him is telling him he has to?
Or maybe it's a thing of, like, if he's... I think it's very much that seasons one and two thing, right, that Deep Throat talked about, of, like, oh, we need to keep him around because if we fire him, then like, then he'll run around and start spreading things that we don't want him to, we don't want people to know.
I guess so. But I also think that for Kirsch, it's kind of just like, I want to punish him, like, by keeping him here, but not letting him close enough to do what he loves.
I mean, here's what I'll say. At least my impression of Kirsch and like this new role in season 8 is he just kind of like sucks as a boss, and not from like a personal, like, oh, he's mean, but like, he just makes a lot of, I don't know, in my opinion, bad decisions.
So he also explains that the reason he doesn't want Mulder on the X-Files is because Doggett's percentage of success rate has been higher since he's been on the X-Files. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, but he's also had less time on the X-Files, so the percentage rate is skewed.
Much more concentrated.
Yeah, so it doesn't make any sense from a data point perspective, but I guess it's just an excuse he wants to use.
Meanwhile, Absalom gets away. He makes the great escape. So I'm a little confused as to what he does. Basically, he's working like in the yard, and then he just like has a nail stuck through a brick or something, and he kills a guard and runs away.
Yes. That's exactly right.
He found out about, you know, what this guy was doing, and so because he was...
Yeah, so it's a work detail, like, he's, like, out there doing...
Right. Yeah, he's, like you know, cleaning up trash on the highway or something.
Yeah, exactly, and so he escapes.
I'm just intrigued by the nail through the brick.
You know, man's got to do what he's got to do.
I suppose so, but the apocalypse. Like, that feels like, I don't know, much harder to do than to construct a shiv, you know? I don't know how you get a nail through a brick.
You know, Michael, I don't know if you're the person to discuss these things.
I suppose not. I'm far from prison material.
Yeah, no.
I'm more avant-garde prison material.
Avant-garde prison material. Anyway, so he goes to Doggett's house.
Yeah, he accosts Dog. He basically, like, forces him at gunpoint, basically
saying,
show
me your neck.
Yeah, basically saying, like, you know, I've been used, you know, before I've sort of been like housing various secrets, and now I want you to come with me because the invasion has begun and we need to spread the word.
Yes. Also, the guy from the beginning, his name is Howard Salt, which they reveal here.
Do you think he's related to Veruca Salt?
Maybe.
He never got that bean feast.
Absalom's whole plan is to use Doggett to get into what I suspect is some sort of government compound. I can never tell.
I guess, is it like the Census Bureau?
Yeah.
There is some sort of underground office that has those census records.
So it is the Census Bureau, but, you know, it's like one of those like database rooms from the 90s.
It's like DEFCON 1
this is like
Census Bureau.
Pre-terabyte situation. So, the way he does this to convince Doggett that he's serious is he duct tapes a gun to his back.
Yeah.
And Doggett's like, do you know what the fuck you're doing? Like, don't blow my head off trying to duct tape a gun to my back.
Yeah, but I guess he's at the mercy of this you know, crazed cult leader that he only met a few days ago.
Yeah, and this is like a pretty quick, you know, he wants to get in because he claims that there's data showing that aliens are here in this Census Bureau database.
And meanwhile, Mulder's doing a very similar thing.
Yeah, but well, this is Absalom gets killed instantly because he goes through a security thing and they find the gun and a security guard shoots him.
Yeah, and Doggett says right there and then, like, yeah, you realize that there was an X-ray scanner and they saw the gun attached to my back.
Yeah, and now you're dead.
Yeah. Like, so I'm not entirely sure what this dude's plan
well
was.
He's a little crazy. I think his plan was to just like get as far as he can, try to prove it, but like he's been in prison, he's not like all there anyway. He's a former cult leader.
I guess that's true. He sort of has had his time where like his own judgment is clouded, that he's making bad decisions.
This part really annoyed the F out of me though, where Mulder just like immediately is like, Doggett, you let him get murdered.
He straight up like shoves Doggett.
Yeah.
And this also starts these two episodes.
He thinks that he set him up to get killed, like, which is bonkers.
Because he feels that he knows that Absalom is like trying to reveal the truth and he thinks that Doggett set him up to purposely
conceal it. And Doggett's like, what was I supposed to do? I was kidnapped.
Yeah, the most frustrating element about these two episodes is the Mulder Doggett pairing you think would be fun, right? It's a little bit like Seinfeld, George and Elaine, like the common denominator is Scully.
Yeah.
But really, these two guys just like don't get along.
No, it's not even that. Doggett is willing to get along with Mulder to every extent. He is more than welcoming. He is, at this point, invested in the X-Files. He's not somebody you don't like, Scully trusts him.
Yeah.
So Mulder should have every reason to also sort of be on Doggett's side, welcome him with open arms, like, join him in the crusade. But he's jealous of him.
And you think that's what it is?
Yeah. He sees him as his replacement, and at least that's the vibe I get. And so he's like, you don't know anything. You're so dumb. Get away from my Scully.
Mm, yeah. Well, it's not a great look. Really not a great look.
No.
And we should also mention here, so Mulder sort of did, like, his own break-in, where basically, like, so he had tried to do a wipe of, like, the hard drive,
Is this
right?
Before or after Doggett goes to Null Roar?
Before. Because basically before Absalom and Doggett went to the census storage facility, Mulder went, like, into that concrete
oasis. Wow. This is, like, before he does, like, the actual census.
He basically grabs the hard drive that Howard Salt was working with, I think.
So he goes into, like, he grabs the hard drive out of the computer.
And he gets the lone gunman to try to
hack it.
Yeah, trying to hack it. And it turns out that it was a bunch of data downloaded from the Census Bureau, basically the day that he died.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, you know, they're trying to get into it. They can't hack it. Firewalls,
yeah,
virus,
there's like a password, whatever.
Insert techno babble here. Mulder is like, oh, this means, it's not that you can't do it. It means that you won't.
Yeah.
This is America. Just because you get more votes doesn't mean you win.
God, so
shut up,
yeah.
Mulder. I hate to say it, but he's fallen.
That's the big,
it's the intention, but it sucks.
It's the big issue with this season. And then he's also in an episode or two of the next season. But the fact that they, like, do him so dirty as a character is just so hard to see.
Yeah, it's just tough to watch him come back, which is this big, exciting event.
Yeah.
He's back being like, you're all against me.
It's just not his character at all.
Yeah. I don't know. And again, if they had gone into the fact that maybe he was understandably paranoid with what just happened to him.
But it seems like he doesn't even remember that. So he's just being a dick.
Exactly. So this is when Doggett meets with rah, 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 rah.
Null Roar.
Null Roar. Like a dull roar.
Yeah.
Basically saying, like, hey, you're being used, man. You're just cogging the machine. And Null's like, nope. Don't worry about it. Also, there are three words that are the key to everything that you don't know about.
And he tells them.
And he tells it to him off screen, and then he reveals, I can't remember, does he tell her or does he hand her, like, the piece of paper that dramatically says it on it?
I think he tells her because Mulder breaks into the Census Bureau with the, this is when he breaks in. He tells, like, he calls Scully, and while Scully's on the phone with him, I think that's when he says, oh, there's a three-word password we need.
Yes.
And Doggett's like, oh, I know that.
Yeah, and it's Fight the Future. Who knew that Howard Salt was such a big fan of the X-Files movie?
I guess so, yeah.
I suppose.
It's a callback. It's a weird callback, one.
But it's not a callback to anything specific, right? I mean,
I think it's just the black oil.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those, like, typical, it's like the truth is out there, right? It's just like one of those typical phrases that gets used in the X-Files.
Exactly.
Nothing, like, incredibly meaningful behind it. Though I do remember, I think...
The idea is to, like, fight colonization.
Yeah, cause, and I also think Fight the Future was... I'm trying to remember how they used it in the movie, right? Like, I think...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Sorry. Big yawn.
That was something, like, a member of the syndicate said.
Yeah, because it's about fighting the colonization.
Yeah, exactly. Pushing against that. So, Skinner is now going to tell Doggett basically this thing of, like, oh, you know, there was a notification that Howard Salt's data had gotten hacked.
Yeah.
And Doggett says, oh, I know that because I gave Scully the password
to
it.
Yeah, exactly. And so Mulder had the lone gunman hack it.
Yeah. And you know, Skinner's like, what side are you on? I don't know if this is the intention, but, like, this
literally
just made me feel really bad for John Doggett.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, I don't know if it's the intention either, but, like, I do feel bad for him because I think that you're supposed to love Mulder, you're supposed to love Skinner, but we also just built up Doggett to be somebody you're supposed to like. So
yeah, it's just tough because this poor guy is, like, walking in and trying his best, and they're like, no, you don't understand. Like, this whole thing's bigger than you. He's like,
this guy has a lot of patience.
Like, I'm trying to catch up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really trying, and you just keep yelling at me every time I say something.
Anyway.
So at this point, basically, we now have Mulder and the Lone Gunman break in. The Lone Gunman are hilariously decked out in, like, Mission Impossible-esque and black outfits.
They're basically, like, hanging in an elevator shaft, like, doing their computer stuff.
Yeah, because they basically need to, like, hack on the go, right? Like, they need to, like, hack from a certain distance.
Yeah, because they need to be able to be like, okay, door one opened, or two, or whatever.
They need to be, like, his eyes.
He's wearing a Britney Spears microphone ready to hit me baby one more time.
Exactly. And so, yeah, Mulder is able to sort of like Tom Clancy Splinter Cell his way in.
Yes.
So we talked about this before. This like odd census room looks so,
it's like very
white,
austere,
and immaculate. Like, remember that doctor's office we talked about a few episodes ago?
It's an OBGYN.
Yeah, it just looks so out of place, but I guess that's the point.
Yeah, and I do think that a lot of that stuff is like, okay, you know, we're not going to decorate it. You know, usually you see it's gray, but I guess it could be white.
So Mulder is sort of, you know, is going to start hacking away. And
yeah, he's basically trying to download all this data. So he starts like the upload process.
Yeah, and Doggett appears basically being like, dude, your life is in danger.
Yeah, he's like pounding on the door, and Mulder's just like,
he's
fucking ignoring
Mrs. Robinson.
He's just ignoring him, which is like bonkers. Like, this is like a really like sensitive mission. If somebody shows up like screaming, like, you should just acknowledge them and say like, hey, like, what's up, you know?
Like, or like, 1 second, please.
Yeah.
But Mulder again continues to believe that Doggett is just doing this to keep the data underground, to keep him from doing this mission. But turns out that Doggett is right.
Yeah, that Noel Rohr leaked the password on purpose.
Yeah, and also to the point where they can't even upload the information.
Yeah, so the Lone Gunmen are hanging there, and they're like, hey, you're uploading it to us, but we're not able to get it out.
Yeah. We should also mention Mulder's intention here is that he feels like the census data, as you mentioned before, is being used to, as we talked about, like, the next step of colonization, it seems, is straight up like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yes, taking
just
over
flat
humans,
switching people out.
Yeah, exactly.
For aliens, and so he feels like they're using that information to target people, and he wants to try to leak it to the press. But
yeah, which is like a weird
to leak.
Again, not typical Mulder. You know, Mulder's,
this seems more like a season one type of Mulder thing hey, let me get to the press. I feel like, season eight Mulder would be more so like, no, the press is in on it as well.
Like, what that's going to accomplish. It's not going to accomplish anything. So, yeah, I don't know. Not great.
But as you said, Noel Rohr, you know, sort of gave up the ghost as it was anyway. Now there's a whole SWAT team that is
Black Ops.
Yeah, storming the census center, sort of like, trying to think, I guess sort of like the Cuban Pete climax and The Mask.
Yes, exactly. So they basically run away.
Yeah, they escape through the ceiling. Seems to be something to do as of late between Skinner and Gibson.
Yeah, that's true.
Escape through the ceiling. And basically, this is when Doggett confronts Noel Rohr for selling him out.
And he has Skinner just sort of like in the background as like,
you security. Can't tell on me.
Yeah, sort of, I guess just like protection too, like so that Noel Rohr doesn't like kill him outright.
And he also tries to threaten like demoting him, and Noel Rohr's like, no man, you don't get it. This is the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm. And as Doggett walks away, you see on the back of Noel Rohr's neck these like vertebrae sticking out.
Yeah, so we should point that out, that this is the new indicator of not the hybrid, but like the human alien, I guess I should say replacement.
Yeah, because this is what we saw on the back of Billy Miles too, I think.
Yeah, and this is where, like you said, when Absalom confronts Doggett, he tells him to see the back of his neck.
Yes.
So that's clearly the thing, is like, again, between like putting the chip there with Scully and everything.
Because it's the brainstem.
Between the alien bounty hunters with the neck pokey thing, like that is their neck lovers.
Their neck lovers,
and so having a nice bulgy neck is a sign now of an alien replacement, and apparently Noel Rohr is one of them.
Exactly.
Now, do we see him again?
I think maybe. I don't remember, though.
Because I would imagine, like, either, I could see it go one of two ways. Either, like, oh my god, it's a big deal, this, like, semi-recurring character who's in the government is an alien. Or it's like, oh, this is a larger, we won't see him again, but it's almost an indicator of, you know, how deep this thing goes.
Yeah, I think that's it. And then, if we do see him again, it's not, like, super significant.
Okay. Well, that being said, this, I feel like, is, I mean, it's an awkward sort of transition episode, just because, again, it airs right after Mulder comes back, and you sort of have to,
I mean, it doesn't really lead to anything.
Yeah, exactly. It's Mulder trying to do his thing, and then, like, frustratingly hitting many walls, not necessarily getting on the same page as Doggett. I mean, I guess maybe Doggett finds out more about what's going on with the conspiracy. And we find out a bit more about how much, you know, things have truly become deeply seated. But I feel like outside of that, it actually was kind of more of a transitional episode than anything.
Right. And I think that the episode that follows this is more of a monster of the week one and doesn't really have a ton to do with the Mulder of it all. Like, I don't even think he really appears in it. This is another one with Monica Reyes. So,
okay.
You know, I think he does appear, but it's like more of the clash of the Mulder and Doggett stuff. Mm-hmm. This is the one that we skipped where we talked about it's more about his son.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, there is the clash. Should I stay or should I go? Mulder is constantly questioning, and he will go. We'll talk more about that in the next episode. Speaking of transitions, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. When we come back, we are talking VNN. Let's talk some oil. Texas tea.
If we must.
Yeah, so here we are out on the ocean. I feel like it's been a while.
Yeah, you commented that when we were watching it, and you were like, another ocean episode. And I was like, it hasn't really been that recent that we've had an ocean episode.
No, I guess with the way we're doing it, it feels more recent. Or maybe it's just the idea that, Piper Maru is something
it's significant.
That's in my head. Or what was it? .com.
And whenever we deal with, an oil thing, it does tend to be on a boat.
Whether it's Michael Bublé in the sub.
Well, yeah, and then there's that one where Krycek comes across on a boat, and he carries that guy with him.
Yeah, they deal with a lot of water with this. This time, though, it's an oil rig. It's at least a little bit different.
Yeah, more stationary.
Yeah, we should also shout out, because again, Spencer writes in so much to this podcast, that he himself works in the oil and gas business, and he says being out on an oil rig, it's truly so isolationist.
Yeah,
it almost feels
sense.
Like you're on a separate planet. So
no,
actually,
that makes sense.
The setting for this actually is kind of fun. It's almost like something akin to The Thing.
Yeah.
Where it's just so, especially when they quarantine the place, it's just so isolated.
Well, that was what the big thing was, that it was almost their turn to rotate out, and they're now being stuck there. It's like, you know, it's what happened to everybody in 2020 when we were told it was only 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it was like, nope, another 2 weeks. And it's like, I'm going
to
go crazy.
There's not even hockey to watch.
There's not even hockey to watch because the communications are immediately knocked out.
Yeah, so we should see these guys are just sort of getting some, some slop or whatever. We are introduced to, I think, the main guy who has a mustache. What's his name? Tom? Todd?
I don't think his name is Todd. I think the one guy is Diego, right?
Yeah, but I'm talking about MC Gainey. What is the name of his character?
I don't remember.
Mustache Man.
Mustache Man. We should know that.
Yeah, we should probably. I mean, listen, they sort of mention his name, but he's going to be sort of the main stick in the mud, I should say, because it's clear that he's infected. But yeah, it's fun for me. Again, always love when a lost actor appears on TV. MC Gainey, very much known for his fake beard as Tom Friendly. Now he gets a mustache to go alongside it. So clearly he and facial hair go together incredibly well. But yeah, weird cold open where there are a couple of Spanish speaking workers on the oil
rig. So I mean, it's an oil rig. There's probably people who are, working it.
Well, we should also mention that
it's
this
the Gulf.
Is the Gulf. So it's sort of like in the middle of.
Yeah.
So there's American and Mexican workers.
Yeah, and Mexican nationals is kind of the reference they make later. But yeah, basically, this guy, one of them, I think this is Simon.
Theodore.
Hilarious. sorry.
Well, one of them, whoever it is, he ends up sort of like one of the guys who's cutting up some roast beef.
Although we should just, I was just going to say, sorry, I lost my train of thought, but one of them is not Mexican.
Okay.
But he's indigenous heritage. But
okay.
That's neither here nor there.
But he basically absconds with a knife that was left behind, sneaks into the communication station, kills a technician. And he also busts up all the communication equipment as well.
And then the guy, and then MC is like, he shouldn't have done that. And starts glowing.
Yeah, he goes,
a la Max.
He goes, now
Max.
You've done it.
Yeah.
And he glows by to the point where it's almost like an X-ray perspective. Like we see his skeleton.
Yeah, and we see that in that episode with Max from previous seasons where he's basically turning into like a big burst of radiation.
Mm-hmm. Beau Taylor is MC Gainey's character's name.
Yeah, I couldn't remember.
I like that name, Beau Taylor.
Yeah,
sounds like an oil worker name.
Really a
Beau Taylor.
But yeah, so we're sort of left to believe that something fishy's going on in an alien way here.
And it's not just the fishies around them.
No.
So,
and then we see the black oil go over someone's eyes, right?
We'll see it later, but in this one he just grows bright. Though we did see when he kills the communication worker, like, doesn't something crawl underneath his skin or something?
Yeah, the black oil.
Yeah, but I don't think we saw that it was like officially black oil at that point. Though I feel like it is a bit on the nose to have black oil involved in an oil rig.
Yeah.
I
mean, what they say is that, I mean, that's where it's coming from, is it was one of those extraterrestrial viruses that was here before humans, you know?
Yeah. Doggett makes a fun reference to it later, though, right? When he just, like, takes a fingerful and he's like, okay, is this going to kill me? Speaking of which, so Doggett is going to find Mulder just, like, down in the X-Files. Again, despite the fact that he is no longer working there, he has made his way down, he knows the way, and he's basically, like, investigating what came across their desk, the death of the soil worker.
Yeah, and Doggett's like, I didn't think it was worth investigating, and then Mulder's like, you don't think anything, and Doggett goes into this whole spiel about how he's like, no, I know all about this. Like, yeah. Mulder's like, you don't know anything about this oil.
Yeah, I love this. So, Mulder's like, no, you don't understand. The wounds match this happened. Doggett's like, oh, you mean blah, 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 and basically describes, like, the past seven seasons of mythology.
Yeah, he's just like, in this case, and that case, and this case, I went through all of your case files. Like, I'm a good FBI agent.
Yeah, come on.
I'm doing my job.
I know every single thing about it. But at least Mulder believes that the massive flash burns that happened on 90% of this body match up with, like you said, what happened in the Mac situation.
Yeah, exactly. And he's just like, I think we got an alien situation here. And Doggett's like, okay, well, I will go investigate because I work on the X-Files.
So we should note here, Scully is like oddly... Chase is a weird word, but she's so separated from location perspective the entire episode. It is incredibly odd to me.
Well, I think it's just because they're not going to... I mean, Gillian Anderson, first of all, they're trying to phase her out. Second of all, her character's pregnant. They're not sending her to an oil rig.
Yeah, but that being said, like, she'll call them, and she calls them in this next scene from Kirsch's office. Like, yeah. I'm a little confused as to...
Well, because I think that they're supposed to... that Mulder... is getting them in trouble, basically.
Right. I just found it odd that I think, with the exception of maybe this scene, I feel like Scully is going to be
separated.
Either in this office or like in the doing an autopsy.
I don't find it weird, but okay.
Basically they're meeting with the oil company because the oil company basically like found out what was happening.
And they're like you can't shut us down. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You can't do an investigation. That's going to be bad.
Please, we're all about the bottom line here.
Yeah, exactly. Except they're not.
I'm very sad
Texan.
That they're not big Texan people with like giant hats or anything.
No, I think they're from a Mexican company.
I forgot what's the name of the company. I forgot. It begins with a G. Like,
stop asking me these things.
Guilfoil.
It's Galplex.
That was close. Guilfoil Oil. Maybe that's why I thought of oil. So now, basically, Doggett.
Yeah, they're like, no, it was an explosion. Moving on.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, something's fishy here. So Doggett is going to fly out to the rig along with a new communications officer because they obviously need someone to replace him. And they're like, hey, I'm the FBI guy. They said, well, we already got one of those. And it turns out that Mulder is there, too.
Mulder.
So do you think he just
he arrived earlier in the day?
Did he like bluff his way onto a helicopter saying he was the FBI agent?
Well, I think, I'm not sure how he got there, but when he arrived, he was like, oh, I'm from the FBI.
Right. So I'd imagine, though, if he's arranging for transport, like, he'd had to have, I don't know, lied about something.
I'm sure.
Because this is a case he's not assigned to. So maybe, I don't know, maybe does he fake being John Doggett? Does he say that he's the one assigned
to
the
case? Are details that they don't care about, so I don't care about.
Yeah. So Mulder and Doggett are going to talk to Beau Taylor. And
yes.
So Beau, I couldn't tell if he is lying here or not, that he says that the guy who died had tried to sabotage the oil rig and start a gas explosion. Like, I know
he's lying.
Well, I know he destroyed the communication equipment, but I didn't know how far it went, you know?
No, he's lying. He's saying that that guy destroyed the communication equipment and then Beau killed him.
Right. I just didn't know if there was another sort of like scheme to also,
These two guys are, they're not infected.
Mm-hmm.
And so they see what's happening.
Right.
And what they're trying to do is shut down this oil rig and keep it from happening. Like, they're trying to kill everybody to stop it from spreading.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, listen, they're martyrs for being able to do that in a place.
And
that
I
they
don't
live.
Think they want to be,
no,
but
exactly.
They're sort of like forced to.
Diego had a poor family to get back to.
Yeah, and so he's claiming that like this guy LaCruz tried to blow up the oil rig, which like he sort of did, but at the same time did not succeed.
So right, so that's why I was confused. Was that it was clear here there were some efforts of sabotage, but at this moment we
not blow up anything.
We didn't know why. Mulder and Doggett are going to get into an argument here. Basically, like we get to the bottom line as to why these two guys are not into each other. Mulder doesn't think Doggett cares, and Doggett thinks that Mulder is constantly stepping over the line and getting in his way.
Yeah. It's just stupid.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I think both are semi-true, in a manner of speaking, but I think that Mulder has the weaker argument.
He does, because I think that for him, he's just not willing to see Doggett as somebody who could be an asset or a partner.
Right, exactly. His mind has not been open to like, oh, there can be someone else in the X-Files as well who cares about something. There's a funny exchange here where Doggett tells Mulder you could find a conspiracy at a church picnic.
Yeah.
Mulder replies, what church?
What church, yeah. No, but that's true. That's Mulder's vibe, for sure.
Yeah, I would like to imagine him to get sent to a church picnic, though, and see how that happens.
Yeah.
So Scully is doing an autopsy here, as she
which does. She's not supposed to be doing.
Yes, but she is a medical doctor. Yeah, because basically her orders, right, were to just like ship this body to Mexico and be done with
yeah.
it. But she notices that the body was clearly affected by the virus, but it did not die of the virus.
Yeah, so the body had the virus in it, but because he was an indigenous Mexican national, so of Mexico, but of the specific indigenous people in Mexico, he had an immunity to this virus.
Right, so that's what she said, is that the virus was in his system, but it didn't kill him, the radiation did.
Yes, exactly, and it killed the virus, too. So it was like a not
almost like an
live.
Odd chemotherapy that also kills your body.
Yes, correct.
So Scully immediately upon seeing this basically tells Skinner, you got to order the
you got to quarantine shit.
Quarantine or evacuate, whatever you want to do. We got to save Doggett. And Skinner says, no, I won't do it without evidence. But they do it anyway.
Yeah, and Doggett and Mulder do find evidence of the black oil.
Yeah.
But
We should also mention here that the new comms guy, you know, Bo Taylor comes striding in, and new comms guy says, well, you're not going to believe this. There's interference on the radio. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on. Something mysterious. And he's like, something mysterious indeed. And this is when we see that black oil come seeping out from every orifice in his face.
Yeah, and then we also...
I forgot how visceral that is, by the
disgusting.
Way.
It's disgusting, yeah. We're also told, I think at this point as well, they're like, we're going to quarantine this station.
Yeah, because Scully now directly contacts the rig.
Yeah, the rig.
And tells Mulder, is like, I want to tell you about what I found. I want to quarantine the rig. Mulder is a douche here where she's like, you have to let Agent Doggett know. Doggett walks in like, oh, who's that? And Mulder hangs up and is like, no, nobody.
He's so douchey. But yeah, so they go out and I guess what you would call like a foreman, like the head oil guy is like, these are all my men. Like, this is everybody. And he's like, well, you have 19 people on this list. There's only 18 people here or whatever. And they realize Diego de la Cruz is missing.
Diego Garza. I think
Diego Garza. Yeah, Simon de la Cruz.
Yeah, exactly. And we did see him initially when Doggett and Mulder first got there, there was a shot of him sort of like hiding underneath the rafters initially, which makes sense now given everything because, yeah, he wants to remain as like squirreled away as possible to avoid any sort of black oil.
Yeah. And so Doggett and Mulder are trying to find this guy because they believe he also is not infected.
Mm-hmm.
He's also an indigenous people. And so they're going to go try to find him, but you know, there's other stuff going on, too.
Right. And this is also where the oil company, they're sure working against the clock here for many reasons.
Yeah, because the oil company's like, unless you find definitive proof, we are sending these guys home and rotating the crew.
Because again, if you shut down this oil rig, this means that there's money lost for
us. He basically said it was like $150,000 a day or $150 million
a day,
something ridiculous. Yeah. And it was like, okay, well, yeah, that's a big number.
Yeah, well, especially because basically the reason why they're out there is because there's like this...
There's a new oil...
Yeah, there's a new oil province, I think is what they call it. And basically, it might extend into Mexican territory, it might not, but essentially, like, they
want to get the oil out before anyone finds out.
And then the oil breaks. It feels like it's been a while since we've dealt with that. I don't know, I feel like...
Most of the oil's been found.
Have you seen any shows that deals with that time period?
Except for Kiss Me Kate, where she mails that oil guy.
I suppose. I'm just trying to think if you have seen any sort of like...
No.
Is that the Hatfields and the McCoys, like back in the
days?
The Gold Rush?
I'm sorry, but I'm a Regency era... England.
Know, sometimes you're not going to watch like Yellowstone 1883 or anything like
that. We'll say, maybe.
Yeah, but the, I think that's Faith Hill is in that.
Yeah, I prefer pre-Industrial Revolution.
Mm-hmm. So,
just kidding. I do love a Victorian age.
If you show me a factory, I swear to God.
I swear to God. Do not show me steam.
These things better be horsepower, damn it.
Better be horse-drawn carriages and bonnets and... And kings and queens, yeah, or that's say, it.
You deal with Renaissance stuff. You're watching the Medicis.
I am. I'm watching those Medicis.
Those Dang. Medicis. So much cheese.
So much cheese.
So basically, yeah. So the guys catch that the radio room is now on fire. Doggett does specifically, and he as he tries to put it out, Diego Garza knocks him out and sort of like doesn't take
drags
him, prisoner,
him, yeah,
but sort of like takes him aside to sort of give his own story.
Well, he also cuts him his arm to check
to
see
black blood. Yeah. I gotta
or,
say,
no red blood.
Yeah, well, to see if he has black oil, I should say. But basically, Kirsch.
He's like, F this.
Yeah, well, Kirsch has now figured out that Scully, like, you know, this is when he comes in and is like, why isn't this body sent off to Mexico?
Yeah.
He basically knows that her and Skinner were the ones to order the rig closure without him and is like, something smells funny about this. Smells like molder.
Yeah, which is also like a little stupid because Scully and Doggett have been doing this kind of crap like the entire season prior to Mulder even coming back. So it's like he shouldn't be this suspicious that it has to be Mulder, but whatever.
I don't know. I just imagine him as sort of like the beleaguered principal, like Mulder.
Yeah, exactly.
So
he's got it out for him.
Yeah, so we go through a conversation here with Diego and Doggett. Good thing Doggett knows Spanish. Because
he knows a little.
He's able to make his way through the conversation there.
Yeah, and he's figuring out that this guy is trying to shut it down.
Right, that he is immune to it, but like there's essentially an invasion that he's trying to stop.
Yeah.
Afraid that the infected were using the radio to essentially, you know, get people there and spread it outside of the oil rig.
Yes, exactly.
And Doggett promises Diego that if, you know, hey, if you come out of hiding and you help us, I'll get you back to your family.
Yeah, which is so sad.
He's a good person, Mulder, damn it.
Truly.
Yeah, so now, what's his name? Tom Bosley.
Bo Taylor
is going to fight Doggett.
Bo Burnham.
Try to oil him, and Mulder knocks him out.
Yeah, so Mulder knocks him out, and... what happens now?
So they hold themselves up in... I don't think this is the communications room, though, right?
No, it's just like kind of like an extra little like room somewhere.
But there's a fun shot here where there's a slow pan around of you see Bo Taylor trying to break down the door, and then it whips around to show that every other oil worker has like shown up and is mindlessly standing there ready to swarm them.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah, because it's a realization, right? Like, again, we don't know anything about what's going on. And then once we get this load of information thrown to us via Diego, now we're like, oh,
everybody's
every
infected.
Single person is infected at
first
point.
You think like, oh, it's just Bo Taylor, maybe a few others, but no, it's the entire oil rig. So they were like trying to do the best thing they could by shutting it down.
Yeah, so Scully is able to get through to them briefly, and it says that she's basically sending choppers to pick them up, and they just need to, you know, tough it out until then. Mulder suddenly realizes, you know, what Diego had essentially told them, and he destroys the radio.
Exactly.
And interestingly enough, when he does, they all gone.
Yeah, which is crazy. But then they have this issue where everything's on fire and is going to explode. And
yeah, so I was confused about this. Was it just that the radio, was it like an attractor? Was it just that, oh, it's a threat of like, hey, if they're using the radio, and once it's destroyed, they're like, no harm, no foul?
I guess. It's not really explained.
Like, I wasn't sure how primal that instinct was, you know? Like, was it a magnet or something?
You know, I'm not sure. I think it's probably more of a communication tool than a magnet, but...
Mm-hmm. So... at this point, like you said, you know, essentially they're going to start setting the rig on fire. Doggett refuses to leave initially without Diego Garza, but unfortunately, poor Diego Garza was radiated off screen.
Right, and there was actually a lot of controversy about this episode when it came out.
Oh, really?
Because of the portrayal and continued portrayal of Hispanic and Latino characters on television.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of those ones
where like that he couldn't speak English.
It's just a negative portrayal, you know, particularly, you know, that, yeah, he couldn't speak English. He was, you know, somebody who was othered. He was not, you know, considered, you know, part of anything, that kind of thing. And, you know, this was actually one of the things that spurred major broadcasters to sign agreements, basically instilling a head of diversity in each network. So,
okay, well, good on
VN. I mean, there were a bunch of other shows too, like Law and Order and, you know, all of that. So,
well, Diego Garza's legacy lives on, I suppose.
Yes, truly.
So we have a big action moment. Maybe arguably, in my opinion, like one of the biggest budget action moments that I've seen in the X-Files, where
Mulder, I'm not even sure how they do it. Like,
where Mulder and Doggett essentially jump off the rig as it's exploding behind them. It really does seem like the third act climax out of like Die Hard or Lethal Weapon or something.
Yeah, and so I mean, we should mention that this entire episode was filmed. Well, not entire, but a majority of it was actually filmed on an oil rig,
which I can imagine. I feel like you can't get those externals on a sound set.
Yeah, and they had to film between sunrise and sunset, basically. You know, because
the whole filler.
In one day. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, because it also is a working oil rig.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, I thought it looked pretty legit.
There was one shot that looked kind of keyed out. Where
mean when they're jumping? Yeah.
Where it looked like they were like jumping.
I just meant the entirety of the episode looked good. But.
Yeah, but I like this moment because it's one of those things where I'm like, is this the X-Files? Are they really jumping off of an exploding oil rig? This is the X-Files?
Yeah, there was a lot of CGI there. You know, they basically combined footage of the rig with footage of exploding with, you know, it was one of those things, composited shots. And then the other thing was the black oil, which I looked up is chocolate and molasses syrup.
Oh, boy.
So it was used for that visual effect.
Sounds yummy. So now that these two are safe, I'm assuming that they were able to, like, float Bob for a little bit before the choppers pick them up.
Yeah. This is also the second to last time you will ever see black oil.
Wow.
It appears one more time in the series finale. Wow. So the episode prior to the series finale.
Are we talking like sea-based black oil? Are we talking black oil in general?
No, it's just in a flashback.
Interesting.
So this is it from a realist perspective.
So I guess it was this idea of like, hey, we eradicated it, but there was another like almost strain that was going to be coming up from this new province and this got
and now
killed
it's
as
done.
Well.
Yeah, but you'll see it again in a flashback and then that's it. Bye.
I mean, what I do like about it is if the storyline is that Doggett is still someone who's a bit skeptical, and luckily we don't have seven seasons of Scully being like, I didn't see the huge UFO drone pass by overhead.
Yeah, he gets it pretty quickly.
As Mulder tells him, like, you were there, you saw it, like, you can't deny it.
But this is, like, not the first time that we see Doggett. This happened to Doggett, too, because, like, he sees the stuff with Scully, and he's like, yeah, no, I saw that. Saw that guy appear out of nowhere.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. So Mulder debriefs. It seems like for the umpteenth time, the incident has sort of been like swept under the rug. You know, they're still drilling. They're built a new rig, I suppose. And Mulder admits that he took the fall and is subsequently fired.
He's never, I mean, he's been put on suspension, he's been put on leave, on paid leave, you know, he's left on his own.
He had to be
listening
to radios.
Yeah, but now he's fired.
Yeah, which is wild. I don't know what a non-FBI Mulder is going to do with his life, and I don't think neither does he.
No, and that's, I think that he'll continue down this road of trying to figure things out, but how's he going to pay his bills?
Yeah, I mean, that waterbed doesn't pay for itself.
I think that's gone.
Oh, boy. Yeah, probably after that.
Well, when he returns home, remember, he's like, it looks different. She's like, it's clean.
Yeah, maybe it's maybe that was the whole time loop episode that he decided to do away
exactly.
With that. Yeah, so it's wild that Mulder is gone. I mean, I'm glad it sort of is like, again, if you need to get Duchovny off the show, I do feel like this is the way to do it, because there is this sort of unchecked box of Mulder's still around, but he doesn't want to be part on the X-Files on a weekly basis. What do you do? And so I think it leaves actually a new exciting opportunity for this character of what could possibly happen. What does civilian Fox Mulder look like? You know, does he become sort of a Max type who just starts a blog or whatever and like becomes a recluse? Does he try to get a job with another government institution?
You'll see.
We'll see. So, yeah, that's how Viennin leaves. I think a more enjoyable and much more climactic episode. I think I got more of the Mulder-Doggett dynamic here.
Well, yeah.
And they sort of have, I think, what Mulder implies...
An appreciation.
That's right. I think that the final scene implies that Mulder has at least, like, a begrudging, if not respect, at least, like, acknowledgement of
Doggett. Well, and so the episode that we're going to skip, we're going to be moving to the last two episodes of the season, right? We're going to be skipping Alone.
Alone!
Which is an episode where you do get more of the trust built between Mulder and Doggett. So basically, Scully's going to go on maternity leave, and they hire this like FBI agent who's like a fangirl of the X-Files to replace her to be Doggett's partner. And then there's like a Monster of the Week type thing where they end up going missing, and Mulder takes it upon himself to find them. And then like Doggett's hurt in the hospital, and at the end he tries to give Doggett his Apollo medallion, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And Doggett's like, I'm not going to take that, but you can give it to Harrison, the like girl who was like obsessed with them.
Wait, so someone was obsessed with like this specific X-Files? That's so interesting.
With the division of the X-Files. But I mean,
like, oh my God, you're Mulder.
Yeah, exactly. Like very much weird. So like a fangirl vibe. But yeah, I mean, she ends up not being his partner in the next season, but I think it was more to just kind of show that things were moving away from the Scully Mulder and then the Scully Doggett. But yeah, so this was, I think that's a good episode too, because clearly Mulder has a little bit more love for Doggett there.
Yeah. By the way, before we move on here, who should we spook? Who you spook of the week? It's the spook of the week. Like my theme song, like an eighth, ninth through our.
Sure. I think the first spook has gotta be that guy who jumps over the wall.
Oh yeah, Howard Salt.
Howard Salt, and then probably Bo Taylor.
I would say spook number one to me is Absalom.
Oh, right. Good one.
And then I'd probably go with Bo Taylor here, Bo Jackson. All right, here we are. Last two episodes of season 8 of the X-Files, Essence and Existence. They sound like perfume names.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Like you said, it's obvious what they're setting up for season 9. So I'm really intrigued to see how that plays out in the finale. And I would imagine also phasing out, you know, it almost seems like we're already phasing out Mulder, but I'm assuming this is how they phase out Scully as well.
Well, so. And Scully, like they attempt to, but she does end up coming back as a season regular for season 9. So it's a little confusing.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, she was planning to leave, but she doesn't leave. She sticks it through to the series finale.
Okay, because she just assumed that it would go on for like 2 or 3 more seasons. Then when they found out there was I can stick it out.
Yeah, I think probably something like that. But anyway, we're talking babies. We're talking Krychek. We're talking super soldiers.
My God, everything on my shopping list is checked.
We're talking
off.
Obsessive cultists. Amazing. It's a lot, but it's a good two episodes, I think. You get a lot of Monica Reyes, which I enjoy.
Yeah, I'm excited to, again, we only touched upon her very briefly, so I'm excited to get to her next week, one of the new faces of the X-Files, soon to become a permanent face.
A season face.
Permanent face for one season. As we finish off another season, we're really in the final, couple laps.
Yeah, and we'll see how much we do cover of season 9.
Yeah, we're still debating in the, interim as to how we want to do it, if we're still going to do, our two episodes a week, if it's going to be just, hey, here's a handful of episodes from the first half and a handful of episodes from the second half.
Yeah, and doing podcasts together.
And we talk about it more in broad strokes approaches. Not entirely sure because, I think it's safe to say if season 8 is not much to write home about, I think season 9, you don't even get a pen and envelope out in comparison.
And then you go into season 10 and season 11.
Well, yeah, we are flat out not doing that. Maybe we'll do an episode where you talk to me about
what
happens.
I'll just talk about it, yeah. Broad strokes for sure for those.
Absolutely. So, obviously,
talking wigs. We're talking. Oh. No, yeah, they do give Scully a wig at some point. I think in season 10, she has blonde hair, and so they put a wig on her that's red hair. It's very weird.
Wait, just have her just dye her hair. What's the problem?
I think in some episodes she couldn't because she was doing something else, too. So.
Oh, gotcha. All right. Well, you know what to do if you have thoughts about Essence and Existence. BloomFiles@PostShowRecaps.com, XFiles@PostShowRecaps.com, @AngePelagi, @AMikeBloomType, @PostShowRecaps. Hey, we're covering The Witcher at the same time.
Wait, what?
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Was I talking with you about The Witcher, or was I talking about your alien replacement?
I don't know.
Show me your neck.
No.
Oh, God.
It's a secret.
Oh, no. That just implies further corroboration. Well, we're covering The Witcher. We're doing weekly episodes for that, even though the season has came out. We talked about episode 2, which was a lot of fun. So if you're a Witcher fan, check that out, whether you've binged the entire season or just watching it one episode at a time. We have you covered in both viewing patterns. So check that out, as well as all the other great stuff we have going on post-show recaps. Again, apologies for a bit of a delay in recording. I know this also is not coming out on Sundays, which is when it typically comes out, but
I'm sorry.
Well, it's also a weird schedule with the holidays as well. So I hope everyone, you know, had a great set of holidays as we sort of segue into the new year. 2022, Angela, is going to be the year where
ba-boom.
We finish the X-Files, maybe sooner rather than later, but it's odd to say after we started this, like, you know, third week of January 2021.
Wild times.
Oh, speaking of concluding watch-alongs, I talked about Lost for 8 hours the other week.
I know.
The royal you might not know. So if you're a fan of that and you somehow don't know about that, yeah, we talked about the end for a long time.
Oh my God, forever.
Yeah, season 8, talking 8 hours about, I don't know.
Wild.
Why.
Just crazy. I don't know how you do it.
I honestly don't know either. I don't know how many cogent thoughts possibly came out of my mouth during a third of the day.
Well, it's like you have your podcast, but then you also do this thing where you guys rewatch with the patrons.
Yep.
So you not only have a patron rewatch where you talk about the episode, you then talk about it for another 6 hours.
Not 6 hours.
I don't know.
We watch it for an hour. We talk for like 15 minutes beforehand and 15 minutes
no,
afterwards.
But I mean, then your podcast.
And then we're talking about it. Yeah. Yeah. So we'd like to talk about Lost. And we had a lot to say, surprise, surprise, about one of the most polarizing episodes, not only of the show, but a finale's period. So I'll be intrigued to see what we're one step closer to the series finale of The X-Files. I am really intrigued to see how this UFO lands in many ways.
Yeah.
We shall see.
We shall see. But I don't want to give anything away.
Well, first we got to finish off season 8, though, and that's what we're doing next week with Essence and Existence. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you to Corey B. for his fantastic theme song for The Bloom Files. We'll be back next week. Until then, case closed.